This is the Ministry 127 podcast, a complimentary resource for spiritual leaders and a part of Ministry127.com. Ministry127.com is an online resource designed to help you develop and implement a biblical philosophy of ministry in the 21st century. Ministry127.com, including this podcast, is hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Ministry127.com provides a growing online library of ministry resources designed to encourage and equip spiritual leaders. These resources flow from servant-hearted local church leaders from around the world who are faithfully serving God with effective and biblical philosophies of ministry. To find out more, visit and subscribe to Ministry127.com. The topic of today's podcast is children's ministry, and particularly, how do you train and develop the leaders and the workers, the team of people who volunteer in your children's ministry. The lesson is entitled The Children's Ministry Educational Clinic. It's taught by Billy Willis, the children's pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, and the lesson was originally taught at Spiritual Leadership Conference 2009. For more information about the upcoming conference this July, visit us at lancasterbaptist.org. We would love to have you be a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference this summer. Today, let's learn about how to conduct an effective children's ministry educational clinic with Billy Willis.
Somebody asked me a while ago, what is a children's educational clinic? And I told them it's a training time and a heart-to-heart time. Just making sure, and I'm teaching a lesson, and I think tomorrow, the scope and sequence of the Sunday school, making sure that our scope and sequence are meeting up. And I'll cover that tomorrow, but making sure our scope is set on the same place that our pastor's scope is seeing. Okay, and making sure that everything's following through from our pastor's heart. And sometimes you may have a good idea and your pastor may agree with it or shoot it down. In either way, we're making sure we have the same scope. So the Children's Educational Clinic is making sure that you're following the pastor's heart, that you're making sure that you're following his scope and his sequence of making sure that's happening. It's kind of making sure everything's in tune. And just like an automobile, if it's out of tune, it lets you know pretty quickly. If the timing belt's going out, it's not going to run properly. Okay, it's time to get those timing belts back in order. But point number one is this. Develop an inspections list. Develop an inspections list. A CE clinic is not something where you can just shoot from the hip. It's not something that you can just say, hey, we're just going to throw it together in one night. Because you got to develop an inspections list. And in this inspections list, you need a list of supplies. What are we going to have? To be honest with you, this little booklet wasn't just thrown together overnight. It took some prayer over it. It took some time over it, time even the leaders, the session leaders, all those people to make sure that as we put this clinic together, that we're going to train our volunteers the best we know how. And some of you, if not all of you, are volunteers. And you know how it feels to walk somewhere and you walk into a session, you took your time off, or maybe on a Saturday, your only day off, you walk in and somebody is unprepared. That's not how we want it to be. We want to be prepared. And by making a list of supplies, it's going to help us fulfill the commitment that we've made that we're going to have a Christian education clinic. List of time-activated tasks. If you use maybe a Franklin Covey like I do or a computer-generated time-activated task, what pastor always says, if you fail to plan, just plan to fail. And if you're not going to plan it right, best just not even have it. Okay, because you're going to discourage people instead of encourage people. But a list of supplies, a list of time-activated tasks in your mailings. And what I mean by that is, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but in your mailing, you need to continue to remind people of this. This past Sunday, we had Baptism Sunday, and it kind of really brought back, made a head, and one of the bus captains came up to me because one of the little kids was going to get baptized on Sunday afternoon. They said the only reason this kid's getting baptized is because we sent them a letter through the mail. And they said the mom was just floored that we actually sent them a letter for inviting their child to be baptized, and they signed the baptismal permission slip, and they came, and they were baptized. Same thing with a CE clinic or a Christian education clinic. Constant reminders. I think all of us enjoy to be reminded, don't we? And making sure that we have that on the list. A lot of times if the CE clinic's on a Saturday, you probably don't want to stick something in the mail on Friday. Right. And if you don't have it time activated, you're going to send it out on Friday. Okay, so making sure who you're going to mail it to, when you're going to mail it, ordering supplies. Do you realize sometimes you may have to order something through the mail? And if you don't time activate it, the way we do it every year, and I'm not going to get too much into planning because there's so much of it, we have our staff planner. Everything that I'm over, I time activate everything. That means I put a date beside that. Pastor calls it, if you don't put a date beside it, you're just talking in the clouds. It's just cloud talk. You know, it's just, oh, we're going to get it done. Well, let me see your plan to accomplish this. So when you begin to plan this, you say, well, we only have three teachers. Okay, great. Then have a CE clinic. And have the best one you can have. Have decorations. Have it exciting, because a lot of times that CE clinic can stir people. He said, we only have three teachers, but we've got 10 people that may be teachers. Invite them too. Because you know what? What you're going to do, you're going to grab what you have and what the pastor's given you, and it's going to draw those people closer to your pastor. And it's going to help them get involved. You say, well, all we really need to do is have somebody for bathroom breaks in the classroom. Listen, now you're getting people involved. And you're helping people get involved in that way. But ordering supplies, making sure that you're time activating that, making reservations. I think 2 years ago we had Brother Ab Thomas come in, and we had to make airline reservations. We had to make sure that he had his itinerary, make sure we're going to take him out to eat, because we don't want him to land and not know where he's going to eat, not have a hotel room, and not have this and have that and have this. So we made sure that we had reservations and preparing food. Not every time do we do this. We at least either serve breakfast or we serve a lunch. At our Christian Educational Clinic. Sometimes this is what we do, is we serve a breakfast for everybody, and then after the clinic is over, we meet with just our preteen leader, our junior leader, our nursery leaders. We just have a brief lunch for them, just number one, thanking them, and also to just kick any new ideas off, or maybe something we need to correct, or maybe some policies and procedures that have been broken. But that's normally what we do, but we time activate those things. Delegate transportation. If you're going to invite people from the outside, from other churches to come in, making sure they have transportation. And also outlines and materials. Letter C is this, a guest speaker. Guest speaker itinerary. You said, do we always have to have a guest speaker? No, but sometimes it's good. It doesn't always have to be somebody if you live on the East Coast, it doesn't have to be somebody from the West Coast. It could be maybe a friend down the road. Because a lot of times other people have fresh ideas. And it doesn't always have to be a guest speaker. I think the last time we did it an in-house CE clinic. What I mean, Lahout taught, I taught, Mrs. Chappell taught, and Brother McCollum, our preteen leader, taught. And but we still had, but when Brother Ab Thomas came, we made sure that we had hotel lined up, we had our meals lined up, arrival and departure times, and also the session titles. If you don't have somebody from the outside coming in, you can always ask them to speak on what you would like for them to speak on. Because you know your people better than some outside teacher would know your people. And like I said before, I saw we were getting the big things accomplished, but there were some little things that I wanted to really attack. And I wanted to make sure that when we walked in, when a guest walked into our nursery registration counter and Mrs. Hannah standing there, maybe another few of our nursery leaders, that the guest was greeted with a warm welcome. They weren't saying, hey, the nursery's over there around the corner, just go find it. You know, because like first time guests, number one, they don't even know where they're at. Right. And they're so turned around. It doesn't matter how big your church is. You know, just a friendly face and taking your time to show them where they need to go. And that was just those little bitty things they wanted to help. So I met with Brother Halp. And I said, hey, Brother Halp, our teachers need some help in object lessons. I said, you are the king of object lessons. You do chalk drawings, you can do this. And he brought a bunch of them in, and he brought a big, I think it was a beam with an eyeball on it, cast the mote out of your eye. And he brought a whole bunch of different ones. And I'm going to tell you, our teachers that Sunday benefited from it and began to use different object lessons. And I thought just a little object lesson could change your whole classroom. And so from that, little big things came out. But developed that inspections list. And the inspection list a lot of times could go around whatever theme you're holding. But also this, determine the invitees. Under this, churches. Are you going to invite outside people, or are you just going to do an in-house thing? Sometimes we try to do more of a Southern California CE clinic. We've done that. The last one we just did, like I said before, we just did a Lancaster Baptist Church volunteer time. That's what we did. And this year, we may open it up to Southern California churches or Nevada churches or New Mexico. We're not for sure. But a lot of times, we decide who we're going to invite. Other churches, local area churches, statewide churches, regional churches, or just your local body. And I'm going to tell you, it's just something about getting around the folks you serve with on a weekly basis and having a training time. Because you know what, it's like a huddle. I never played football, I played baseball, but I know how the locker room was and the dugout was. It was just something about the coaches saying, all right, everybody come here. This is what we need to do. Okay, you're going to play third base today. You're going to play shortstop. You're going to play first base, the outfield. Now, make sure, outfielders, you keep your eye on the ball. Now, remember, guys, if there's a man on first, we're going to go to second, and then we're going to go to first. It was those constant reminders to making sure, yeah, we're on the same team, but are we working together like we should be? And you know when it's out of sync? You know what it is. Sometimes we just got to pull over and park a little bit and kind of regroup a little bit, kind of like a little huddle. And so you got to determine. And a lot of times you can determine either if you're going to invite outside churches or just invite your own churches by what you've seen, just in your group, in your sessions. We need to tweak these things. It would be better if we just did it as a local church family. Or sometimes, you know what? I know nothing. We're never perfect, right? We're still on the upper way. You know, new heights we're gaining every day. But as we determine these things, you'll know that. But churches, not only that, volunteers. Make sure, I think this is in your notes, it may or may not be, make sure the training that is being planned is beneficial for everyone before you invite them. Make sure the training that is being planned is beneficial for everyone before you invite them. Now, I'm going to confess sin right now. You ready for this one? Well, I've been here a little over 5 years. And when pastor asked me to come, he said, you'll be the children's pastor. And boy, I was excited. I knew the children's pastor meant 3-year-old through sixth grade. So that Mrs. Hannah would remember this. The very first CE clinic we had, we focused on the 3-year-old through sixth grade. And we were excited about it. We thought, teachers, use visuals and use this. But the problem was we invited all the nursery workers. We had nothing for the nursery workers. So I had someone, Mrs. Hannah, come up to me with a sweet spirit of Mrs. Ronan, one of our nursery leaders, and said, we came all day, Brother Willis. And it wasn't a bad spirit. They said, we didn't really get it. We got some things, but there was nothing really just for the nursery workers. So every time now when we look and see who we're going to invite, we're making sure that the people we invite, it's going to be beneficial for them to come. Now, sometimes we'll have a CE clinic where we just invite our 3-year-old through sixth grade teachers. And then we'll have a meeting just for nursery ladies. We do once a year. This is not in the notes or anything as far as the CE clinic, but once a year. When do we do that, Mrs. Hannah? The luncheon after church. What month do we normally do it? In February. Out in our student life center, we have a dining hall. And we invite all the nursery ladies that volunteer to the dining hall, their husband and their kids, and we have an awesome meal prepared for them. We have a little gift we give them. I think last year we gave them a little, no, 2 years we gave a little book, and it was real thick, and it had a letter from moms thanking them for serving in the nurseries. You know, and man, I'm telling you, there wasn't a dry eye in that place that day. You see, we didn't really have the CE clinic for the nursery leaders because it wasn't beneficial from the aspect of nursery. So what we did in February, we said, hey, we'll do a thank you time plus a training time together. And what's the one meal ladies always struggle to do? Sunday afternoon lunch. So we thought we'd do this, invite the husband. We'll do child care for the younger ones. We'll have some of the teen girls watch the little guys and girls over in another modular. We'll feed them pizza. And we'll have some like carne asada or something like that with homemade salsa and homemade dessert. So there's just another idea. When you begin to look, determine who you're going to invite in there. Nursery workers, children ministry workers, teen workers. We've had it where we have a big CE clinic. We've had nursery, children's, and then we have teen break off from us and go do their thing. Sometimes we have adult Sunday school, bus captains and workers. So there's so many different categories, but if I'm not going to discuss bus, I'm not going to invite bus workers. Okay, so make sure that as you determine those invitees who are going to come, I'll learn the hard way. Okay, I discouraged some nursery workers the first year I was here because I didn't think about that. And so making sure that it's beneficial. Because I'm in the ministry full time, but a lot of times I had to pull back and say, how can I help a volunteer better from the standpoint of, am I going to waste their time or not? Should I invite them to this? You say, well, and in the ministry, you can say, well, bless God, they should be here every time the church house is open. Well, hold on just a second. Can we plan another time where they would benefit from this greater? So determine who you're going to invite to this. Not only the inspections list, the invitees, but next, decide on the information to be given. And I hit on that a little bit. Letter A is in the opening ceremony. Let's see, in the little big things opening ceremony, I think we did Brother Hauk. Brother Hauk came up. The very first thing was downstairs in, and I call it the preaching room in 102. We had every worker met, ladies and men, all met in that one room. And Brother Hauk did little big helps. How to help your lesson become bigger and better. That's pretty much what it was. Little things that help your lesson. So we had everybody. See, that benefited everybody that was in there. All the children's workers were invited. That benefited everybody. So then we started thinking about this. Not only a little big helps, then we went along and I had Mrs. Chapel take the ladies. Because teaching a girl's class is completely different than teaching a boy's class. And I said, Mrs. Chapel, can you do the little big classroom responsibilities? What do you do in the classroom? I said, what I want you to do is just teach everything that you do normally in the fourth grade girls at 10 o'clock. That's what I want you to do. And then we had Brother McCollum come over here and teach the men. So we had two different sessions because I had, just from walking around, managing by walking around, I saw some things. It wasn't that it was just drastically bad. It was just we needed to drastically change it. That's what it was. Just some constant reminders. So then at the end of it, I came back in and I did a little big, little policies that make a big difference. A little bit discipline makes a big difference. So just little things make a big difference. And so as we began to get the information in the opening ceremony, we started saying, well, who is this going to help? In the opening ceremony, new ideas. We thought about having Brother Hout do that. Fresh teaching tactics, how to do that. Listen, as a children's teacher, it's very easy to become mundane. It's very easy to just say, well, I've been doing it for 20 years. This is how I do it. You know what? I encourage, the hard part for me is I've been in the ministry almost 11 years. We've got teachers that have been teaching in this church for almost 23 years. So go to like a Brother Hartzell that's been teaching in our children's ministry for almost 20 years. Hey, Brother Hartzell, could you switch your whole cue card? Even though you've been doing it for 20 years just to kind of keep it exciting. Now, if I went to Brother Hartzell and said that, he would do it willingly. But having the CE clinic giving him new ideas, I knew Brother Hartzell's heart. He would change it without me having to go up to him and say, Brother Hartzell, you should do that. No, I don't even have to do that. You see, here when you have these things, having fresh teaching tactics, some of you are saying, well, if anybody teaches the CE clinic, it's probably going to be me. That's what you're thinking. Get fresh ideas. Read a book here or get some new craft ideas or study up on an object lesson. You say, well, man, I'm kind of rusty. Get into a class and teach them. As we began to do the children's curriculum, I made sure that I was in children's classes more than I normally am. I'm in there every week, but I wanted to teach them more and be in there more to make sure it was fresh in my heart. So making sure that we're keeping it fresh. Have you ever noticed kids pick up on things very easily? If you're not staying fresh, they'll pick up on it. If you're not being excited, they'll pick up on it. To me, teaching a child the Word of God is very precious. To me, training a worker that teaches children is the big thing. See, to me, being a children's pastor is not just a stepping stone to become something greater. To me, being a children's pastor is the great thing. You see. You say, well, you think you'll be a youth pastor one day? And excuse me, I hope not. I want to be the children's pastor. That's my heart. It's just awesome when you walk into a class and you see a children learning the Word of God. You know, in training the workers that train those children, boy, how important it is. And making sure that we're getting fresh ideas. Not only fresh ideas or fresh tactics, but introduce new material. And the next CE clinic that we have coming up, we've already got it on the calendar, and we're going to be working on that. I know some of the things I want to meet with them. I always file things away, CE clinic. I want to do this, some new fresh ideas. One of the big things is going to be our new curriculum, Striving Together curriculum. Boy, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about next Wednesday night giving it to our teachers. It's going to be awesome. You know, just those little quick things, but introduce new material. It's very easy to get, like I said, just repetitious. standing up and saying the same thing every time to workers. But get some fresh, and it doesn't have to be like life-changing. It could be just that little thing. How to help them in a great way. But also, I think it's already up on the screen, but workshops. The next thing, the workshops. That's where we did, where the big opening ceremony would be more what benefits everybody. Then we break up into those little workshops, and that's when we began to cover, remind them of policies and procedures. Bathroom breaks. All the stuff that a lot of times people say, oh, and yawn about, but need to be stressed and poked. And Mrs. Hannah's teaching a session here a little bit on policy and procedure, I think, right after this one in this room. Let me tell you, if you don't have policies and procedures, stay for the next session, all right? Stay for it and listen what she has, because those are guidelines that help you stay afloat and keep you from trouble. But anyway, there's a little advertisement for Mrs. Hannah's, all right? But the workshops, reminder of policy and procedures, age-appropriate ideas and information. How many would say this, that a sixth grader's needs and a three-year-old needs are completely different? Completely different. Teaching tactics to a three-year-old, hey, let me tell you this, teaching tactics to a third grader and a sixth grader are night and day different. So don't have a big push and say, well, we're just going to have all the three-year-old through sixth-grade teachers. We're going to teach them. Hold on just a second. There are some things they can glean from that. But really think about what you're teaching them. Are they actually going to get something out of it? Because you cannot stand up and teach 30 minutes to three-year-olds. A lot of times you can teach about 3 minutes to three-year-olds. Yeah. About 1 minute per year. So you're not going to stand up there and teach 30 minutes to them. So it's different. And you need to make sure of those things. And we do that. And listen, I've dropped the ball on those things before. And a lot of these notes right here, a lot of them are learning from the mistakes. That's what it's been. And that's probably what I should have named this lesson here, is learning from the mistakes. But age-appropriate ideas. And next is this. This is probably my favorite time, one-on-one meetings. This is the most consuming time because we have 38 Sunday schools on a Sunday morning, 38 children's Sunday schools. So that means there's 38 teachers, and there's more than that of workers. So about twice a year, I try to plan it for about 2 months, either after or before a service, or when maybe they can stop by the office. It's a one-on-one meeting. What I do, I pull them up in my office, and they're across from my desk, and I say, thank you so much for serving in the Kids City Ministry, and thank you so much for teaching and things like that. Maybe there's some things that maybe I've seen in their class that are a blessing. And I tell them that. Sometimes there may be some things in their class that I've seen. Maybe they're sending kids to the bathroom by themselves. That's something I need to cover with them. Then I ask them at the end of, hey, is there anything I can do for you? Now, there are sometimes I've had people say, well, can I take a break for about 2 months? Very seldom. There's sometimes people say, hey, our pedestal, the legs on our stand are broken. Can we have that fixed? See, I would have never known that unless we had that one-on-one meeting. So sitting across the desk one-on-one, face-to-face, is a big thing to me. And that has a lot to do with coming in after a CE clinic, meeting with them one-on-one. A lot of times I'll stand up and I'll have somebody sitting in the back with a clipboard, and they'll have my schedule, and they'll stand up and say, hey, go ahead and get your name down. And I want to meet with each and every one of you. And Tanya's going to have the list, and she'll have a clipboard, and she'll fill out the times and meet with them. Ladies, if you're over a nursery, man, how good it would be just to be one-on-one with the workers sometimes, just that individual attention. You know, or if you're over a children's Sunday school, those one-on-one times. You say, well, man, I don't know if I could do it. Yeah, it's good. Just to pray together, because it'll bond your hearts together. Find out there's needs, if there's any problems. And then lastly, and we'll take some questions, devise an inclusive theme. Devise an inclusive theme. Like I said before, the reason this was a theme of this is because I saw the little things that need to be met. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad it was little things and not big things. Because a lot of times the bigger things are hard to deal with. And I mean, it takes more time. But it was just those little things. And after they had this, I remember some workers came up to Tanya and I, and they said, man, Brother Willis, I want to take those things Sunday and I'm going to use them. And then they were excited. And I thought this, we hit it. The Holy Spirit of God worked in our hearts, and we hit the nail on the head. And it wasn't a pat on the back. It wasn't to me. It wasn't anything. It was just the Holy Spirit of God was moving in our hearts, and we saw what needed to be done. and what information needed to be given. And I didn't really feel like anybody was left out because we didn't invite certain people because I thought they wouldn't benefit from it. So we invited them in at a different time. But that theme, whatever the theme is, you could maybe use this. You say, man, that's exactly what we're going through right there. So I think one year we had one Think Big. That was the CE clinic, Think Big. Because we wanted our children's workers to think big for their classroom. We wanted them to think big about salvation and baptism and all those things. But a theme. You say, well, man, I'm just not really a theme kind of person. You know, let me know and I'll maybe help you or point you the right direction. Give me a phone call, whatever, or email. But the devise an inclusive theme. It has to be relevant to the volunteers involved. And I know I've hit that one many, many times. But relevant to the volunteers involved. I think all of you would say this. I think we understand now it needs to be relevant. And I told you a while ago, it's because I made a mistake in that area. And I think it's because I wasn't thinking correctly, but relevant to the volunteers involved. And letter B is this, relevant to the lessons taught. Every lesson here was named little big things or little big classroom responsibilities or little, and all the ones, little big helps. And we explained to the teachers because we wanted them to catch a hold of what we were trying to tell them. You know, whatever it is in your ministry that you see maybe could be lifted up or encouraged more, there could be a theme that you could bring out of that. This year, our Vacation Bible School theme is Lord of the World. And that whole theme came from this. And because I watch our kids, and I watched our bus kids this year, and I talked to a few of them that were new, they didn't even know who Jesus was. And I saw how awesome it would be to, number one, introduce them to the Lord and have them really understand who the real Lord of the world is. And so all these things that normally just come up in my head or in somebody else's heart or something like that, it's because we've watched our people. And so just knowing our people, I mean, like I said, through one-on-one meetings and things like that, but holding that little clinic or that big clinic, whichever one you decide you're going to hold, the information is very important that you're going to give them. It's not a time to say, yeah, I know it all. And boy, I don't feel like that now in this session at all, because we certainly don't know it all. But it's a time we can say, look, let's hit the reset button. Let's hit it and make sure that we're seeing the same thing, that we have the same heart, that we're moving in the same directions.
You've been listening to the Ministry127.com podcast. Today's topic has been children's ministry and how to conduct an effective children's educational clinic, a training clinic to develop your workers and volunteers in your children's ministry. The lesson was taught by Billy Willis, the children's pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For questions, visit us at ministry127.com or call us toll-free 1-800-201-7748. You've been listening to the Ministry127.com podcast, a resource designed to encourage and equip spiritual leaders in developing a biblical philosophy of ministry for the 21st century. If you have benefited from this complimentary resource, the Ministry127 podcast, or from Ministry127.com, would you simply consider referring a friend? You know somebody perhaps serving in the ministry or growing in God's grace that could benefit from these resources, send them an email and let them know about ministry127.com. For more information and for many other additional resources that support local church leadership, visit ministry127.com. Also, for publications resources that encourage spiritual growth and support the local church ministry, visit strivingtogether.com. Thanks for listening to this ministry127.com podcast.